Revelation 14. We just found out who the Antichrist was in Revelation 13. That no, we'll just look there. We're just this is for, well, actually, this is probably for everybody here's benefit. Just to remind you of how much you need the cross. Just to remind you of how not to give thought for tomorrow, or agendas, or post-its. Verse 16, chapter 13. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. The mark is the same mark that's in Ezekiel 9. It's the same mark that's throughout the scriptures. The mark isn't visible to flesh. But the mark of the forehead defines how you think. If you still think in cause and effect, then you're the enemy of grace. If you think that I need to do this to get this done, then you have the mark of the beast in your forehead. Understand that? Or if, because this is, because I think this is true, then all this must be true. Okay? Because otherwise, if that were true, then God wouldn't have had to have his son die. If I weren't, well, let's go on. And to receive a mark in their right hand. Well, throughout the scriptures, forever, the mark of your right hand defines what you do, what you think your strength is. You understand that? It's what you, I have to work for a living. I have to do this. So it's your thoughts and what you think you do as the mark in your forehead and the mark in your right hand. And that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's obvious. Christ is calling us. God is calling us. Come. Buy with no money. Partake of all things freely. The mystery of God and all things are freely given. But the mark says that I can't buy or sell, or I can't do anything unless I meet these conditions. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. His number is 666. The number of a man. Now the word man there in the Greek means that it's the human. And the A isn't in the Greek. It's the number of man. 666. That's the best that man can do. He can never enter the rest before the, because the rest is seven. So the Antichrist, this being, is you. Your mind that set himself up in your temple. This is the temple of God, but this mind has set himself up in the temple, masquerading as you. Got it? A little bit. That's why we all have to die daily. That's why we have to pick up the cross. How quickly do we forget the cross? And you know why? Because God is trying to do a new thing. God is trying to force us together by our need. I mean, I can't exist without you. It's not negotiable. But you get upset when you're weak. And so that's what, when you're in a position of weakness, and you think you should be in a position, you should be able to get it right, you should be able to do it alone, you should be able to get this God stuff right. Well, if you could get the God stuff right, then you wouldn't need the body. And so the mystery of God wouldn't be manifest. The mystery of God is he's forming a bride. Can you hear that? Harry, this Harry. Why can't I get it right? Because you're not supposed to. Well, I see you getting it right. Well, you don't see right. I don't get nothing right. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, though. I mean...
Now I understand. Now I understand. After all this time. Now I understand.
You finally understand the saying?
Yeah, now I understand.
Compared to what?
Yeah.
Do I get it right? So can we, you all see why we need each other and why we need the cross? And it's constant. The need is going to not, as you walk closer and closer to God, you're not going to become better and better. That's what Babylon teaches. As you walk closer to God, you're going to become needier and needier. Well, I don't like that.
That seems to bear on experience.
I don't like it either. That's why I spent 20 years looking for a loophole. And once you know that about yourself, you're going to stop expecting perfection in anybody else. You're going to understand their foibles and their problems. You don't expect... You understand that there's like 17 people that work for me that are functionally... I can't think of a strong enough word.
Illiterate?
They need to be hospitalized.
They need to be... Right.
They all need to be hospitalized.
Right.
Functionally obese.
We all need to be hospitalized.
And I need to be hospitalized.
I should be in a home somewhere in the English countryside, chasing butterflies with a big net.
Maybe it could be in Scotland.
Yeah, bigger butterflies.
Maybe it could be in Paris.
Bigger butterflies in Paris.
I've been there, I don't want to go to Paris. I'd rather be in the English countryside.
Okay, do you understand need? Why God made us this way? Everything reveals it. And yet we think, I'm supposed to get it right. That's how the Antichrist, this evil one, the 666, constantly puts you in a position of being separate. Because it causes you to think that you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to get it right. You're supposed to... God has been fighting you by his Holy Spirit your whole life, to cause you to come and remain in a position of weakness, a position of need. That's the blessed position. Does that penetrate anybody?
I had this picture of like walking toward God, and it's like he's ripping your flesh, and we're like trying to put back on after he's,
Well, I promise you that if you see the picture correctly, you will never see yourself walking toward God alone. That's why the New Testament tells us that the Old Testament is a parable for what the mystery is, right? Look, as long as Israel was in Egypt, they were dealt with as individuals. The moment they left Egypt, they were dealt with as a new thing, a new person, and one thing. And that's what, I don't care what religion says. God is preparing for him a bride. And he's taking for that bride people from every nation, every tongue, every kindred. And he's taking the people that are tired of acting. It's the only ones that he's taking. I just read this interesting statistic. 67% of the people who say they're born-again Christians believe that the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. They've heard it so often as a cliche by their parents, mostly, that it's become accepted doctrine in the church. But the Bible says exactly the opposite. God helps those who admit they're helpless. Now the problem is you've believed Ben Franklin more than you have the Bible. Because God helps those who help themselves came from Poor Richard's Almanac by Ben Franklin, not by God. And yet you believe God helps those that help themselves more in any given moment than you do, than you believe that God helps those who admit they're helpless. Now, some of us, we go through personality changes when we, you know, we run into a point of fear or need, and we cannot possibly ever admit to anyone that we're in fear or need, and our being changes. You know, it's easy. I mean, we have a Huffy Award around here because, I mean, all of it's very, we can recognize the huffiness in Harry the instant he gets on that trip, right? We should give a voice award for, because her voice changes. And it's this sickeningly sweet voice that I'm going to just, it's worse than nails. But it's because the voice is there, not because she's this evil person any more than she normally is, but the voice is there because she's afraid of something. So if you can hear, then you don't attack her for the wrong reason. You don't attack her for being this self-righteous quarter. You address the fear and the need. You know, when he's afraid, when Gary's afraid, he becomes insufferable. He goes frenetic. When we've got a coat, he's watering cement. But it's all because he's afraid. How many of you made a vow, and how many times, I should say, when you were a little kid and somebody did something to hurt you, and the vow was something along these lines: I'm never play with you again. I'm never going to be around. I'm going to tell somebody on you. But you make a vow. Okay, then the vow is added to when you start finding out about the opposite sex, and you're vulnerable for the first time to someone, and you make a vow, and they hurt you. You make a vow: I'll never again put myself in that position. All of these vows of strength have been multiplied over and over and over and over in your life. Now, God calls all those vows idols. But it's really only one idol. But now, by now, he's really ugly, because he's got a slough of, you know, of this little kid on it. He's got a slough of all these boyfriends or girlfriends, and he's got a piece of. And pretty soon, you're worshiping this idol, and you finally, God allows you to see it, and you say, "Why have I made all these idiot vows? Why didn't I just say I was weak? Why didn't I just say to the first time I got hurt by my friend, let tears run and say you really hurt me, instead of." You know, that's what happens. God always has honored weakness from the beginning of time, from the beginning of your time. And you've always fought against it because your mind, the Antichrist, has been telling you you should be successful, independent, in isolation.
And the heart still beating in ways, mind saying, you know, you're not worthy, you're lacking, you're alone, you're separate.
Your mind will always say that to you. But that's a blessing if you can hear it.
It's like a motor that won't really turn off.
Yeah, but listen to me. If you could understand that is, the Holy Spirit is telling you that you want to, this sounds really corny. All the Holy Spirit is telling you that you want to, when that happens, and then your mind does this trick with it, the Holy Spirit is telling you you want to cuddle, you want to hug. You want to touch. You want to make sure everything's okay. But what happens? But your mind says, your mind takes that desire from which is worthy from God, and it twists it, and it runs it through all of self and says, "I'm not worthy." Anytime you start to feel that you're not worthy, go hug somebody. I mean, it's just, it doesn't mean anything, and you can transform it and sanctify it. You're worthy because of who you contain. Go hug Karen.
Don't touch me.
The chosen one.
I thought you were going to turn around. Slug fast here.
Now they read some poetry.
He's going to read poetry to Harry.
I didn't say to Harry.
You don't like it, Huntsville.
I didn't say to Harry.
Oh, that's right.
By the way, is this part of the labors of Hercules? Is that what this is?
What?
We're studying Revelation 13 and 14.
Yes, 13 and 14.
Of, we went here about a month ago.
We went here three studies ago. The Revelation 13 and 14 contain all of the 12 labors of Hercules.
Okay, that's what I thought. I want to make sure of that.
No, you didn't. You just wanted to make sure your tape said that.
Well, that's right. That's why I wanted to make sure.